She said that she can speak in Creole, so go ahead.
Alléluia. Seigneur, mon bénédiction pour que Pastor Ignace soit à travers les points ici dans l'éducation de la
place. It's a blessing for Pastor Ignace and I to come here in the Abundant Life Church.
Et nous, votre salutation pour nous de la part de la mission évangélique établie à Haïti.
We were greeting from Bethany Church in Haiti.
Spécialement la première église établie que Pastor Ignace est venu voir.
Especially the first church of Bethany Mission where Ignaz and I were serving the
Lord.
When we came here, we visited several churches and we saw how they worship and preach. But when we came here, Abundant Life, we felt the presence of God here. You different from the others. I said that because I want you to continue to the way you are, because that's what the Lord wants. When we came here, we enjoyed the singing, the praising. It's just like Bethany Mission in Haiti. That's how we worship the Lord. My husband and I, we both from the Church of God in Haiti. That's where we born of the Holy Spirit, and we married. We get married. And after, Pastor Ignaz will give you his testimony. How God chose him to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. After he returned to Haiti and began Bethany Mission. Well, I'm glad.
Since
we met Brother Derek and I, we know that you pray for Haiti. It's very difficult to preach the gospel in Haiti because it's a spiritual warfare because of voodoo and witchcraft. But when God called us, He gave us authority and power over Satan. That's why we can walk from victory to victory. We're not scared. But it's in us.
It's
greater than what is in us.
Amen.
And not only in Haiti where the voodoo is really a power. But we undergoing several problems in Haiti with earthquake and hurricane. And a couple months ago we have Hurricane Matthew was destroyed in, especially in the southern part where our major operation located in the south. In 57 churches we have 45 of them, some of them destroyed and get hurt by the hurricane. Some pastors lose their home and their school also. And church members, you know, suffered and they lose their house and the garden and everything. But one thing that will really encourage us
Nous aimerions nous parler de la foi de Dieu.
And the people lose their church, their churches, and their home and their garden, but they don't lose the faith.
That's right.
Amen. Ça est encourageant et ça veut dire même avec
parce que. It's really encouraging us.
Nous ne pouvons pas continuer.
And we can continue to pray and continue to work with the people because of the hope that they have in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'm going to leave her and my husband can continue. So. And I would like to share a verse from Psalm 73, verse 28. Psalmist Asaph said,
m'approcher de Dieu, c'est mon bien.
Getting closer to God is my good.
M'approcher de Dieu, c'est mon bien.
Getting closer to God is my blessing.
So, je vous mène ma semaine pour moi-même et pour Abundant Life en 2017.
My wish is for you for Abundant Life in 2017.
C'est que nous allons approcher plus de mon
Dieu. Getting closer to God.
Parce que approcher plus de mon Dieu, c'est bénéfice.
Because we're getting closer to God, it's your blessing.
Yes.
I love you very much.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
And I felt really blessed for the privilege that God gave me to be with you tonight. And before I speak to you, I would like to tell you who I am, where I come from. I come from Haiti. But spiritually, I've been on a long journey with God. And that's how I can really tell you who I am. I born and grew up in Haiti. And I born in the village. Now the town of Dakar is the third largest city of Haiti. And but I don't born in the town, I born in the village where my parents and most of the people in that town, by the time that I born, worship Satan, voodoo, witchcraft, and Catholic. So we were Catholic, voodoo, practice, and witchcraft. Because of the ignorance, we don't know if there was a difference between Catholic religion and voodoo and witchcraft. So I was involved in that, my father, my mother, my brothers, my friends, every one of us. So when I came to town to go to school and to grow up, I embraced, you know, the witchcraft and voodoo because I need power, I need money, I need power, and I thought that I would find that power in voodoo. So I was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. As I went deeper, my life became harder, more frustrated, and instead of getting power and money, and my life getting backward. So I was really unsatisfied. I was worried and concerned. Matter of fact, I was thinking about going to the Mason Lodge, but I don't know how to get out from witchcraft. When you get involved in witchcraft, you can set you free from it. So I was sharing my frustration with a friend of mine one night, one day. She asked me, have you never been to Port-au-Prince in the mountain? And where there is a service there, and every Wednesday. So I said, what kind of service? Is it Catholic or Protestant? She told me it's Protestant. And I said, well, I don't want to go. She said, why? I said, well, if he was Catholic, I would go with Protestant, I want to go. And she said, why? I said, well, I said, Protestant, they talk too much, and the service, you know, too long. I don't want to go. And so she said, well, I've been there, you can go. So because of what she said, I went. So when I arrived there, it was my first time. Now, I read the gospel all the time, you know, from the beginning. It was my first time I sit down and listen to the gospel. And God began to speak to me. Listening to the testimony and song and everything. So my heart thought. So I make a prayer. I said, Jesus, if you are God, I want to show that to me. I heard you are, I thought you were some kind of prophet. But according to what I heard this morning, they say you are God. So please show that to me, I will receive you. So I spent the whole morning in the service. Jesus didn't show me anything. So after that, 1 o'clock, the service is over. I take off, I went home. But when I arrived in my house, while I was eating, because by that time I wasn't really ready yet, I was eating and it seemed like a voice spoke to me, telling me, take everything that I have and destroy them. Another voice spoke to me, told me, if I do that, he will kill me. So I know that God spoke to me, but the devil tried to bring fear to me. So I had a Bible, I began to take the Bible and read it. As I'm reading, I was reading the Bible, all the fears I had gone. And I took everything that I had in my drawer and destroyed them, break them down, and I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was in 1968. And the next week, I went up to the mountain with some friends. We began to seek the Lord. I said to myself, I spent all my youth serving the devil. I can't find money, I can't find power. Now, if there is power in God, I want to have it. So we will go there and spend time fasting and prayer. We will go Saturday, we spend the whole Saturday praying, seeking the Lord, and Saturday night we stay in the mountain praying. One night, as I was praying, I put my Bible under my head and fell asleep. The Lord brought me to America in a vision. I saw that I was in a Bible college with many white Americans who were talking English, and I know that that was God's plan. So the next morning I told my friends, I said, well, last night I got a dream. I told them what the dream was. We laughed. Because by the time, I would never believe, and nobody would never believe if that dream would come true. I don't have any contact in the United States. I don't have any friends or relatives. I don't have any contact with anyone. So, but 1 year later, I went to Nassau, Bahamas. Now, I went to Nassau to look for a job, to get a better job, to work, to make money. Of course, after 3 months, I met two American missionaries from Bethany Fellowship in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So we became acquainted, friends, and one day one of them asked me, he said, Brother Elias, how would you like to go to Bible school to become missionary to your country? And I said, well, brother, before I came here, the Lord showed me in a dream that I would go to Bible school, but I don't speak English, I don't have money, I don't have nothing. He said, brother, if God call you, he will make a way.
Yeah.
And so he wrote the letter for me, and he wrote the letter in April, but in May, the next month, I got a job. I had a good job, I began to work and make money, and I opened my bank account, you know, and I was really happy. So in August, I received the letter. He came to me with a big smile. He said, brother, praise the Lord, but go ahead and say a prayer, you know, and he brought the letter to me, but myself, I wasn't really happy. I said, what's going on? He showed me the letter and he said that the school wants you to come right away. And I said, well, give me some time to pray about it. And because I got a job, I make money, you know. As a matter of fact, Satan never tell me, well, would you make that mistake to quit your job to go to Bible school, you know? And I said, why? You're right. I'm not going to do that. And so the brothers, they came to my house, keep coming. So I told people in my house, when the American come here, tell them I'm not home. I try to hide. But one day, one sister, Asian, told me, he said, Brother Ilya, do you think that God is calling you? When she told me that, I remember the dream that I had before. I know God called me. So I said to myself, I'm going to talk with my pastor. Whatever he told me to do, that's what I'm going to do. But in my heart, I was praying that the pastor would say, not go. Kind of support me, you know, my religion. So I went to talk to the pastor. He said, well, Brother, if I was in your place, even for 1 year, I would go. So I know that God wants me to go. Do you know, I quit my job the day that I left Nassau, Bahamas, to go back to Haiti. Before I get the visa to go to the state, I wept like a child. Do you know why I wept? I wept because I did something that I don't want to do in myself. But I know that the King, the one that will let me, the one that will call me, I need to obey him. So I went, but I left Nassau. I went to Haiti and got visa and went to Minneapolis. Now I went to Minneapolis at the end of November. That was in Thanksgiving. When I arrived there, when I flew from Miami, it was 89°F. And when I arrived in Minneapolis, it was 12°0. It was a big, big, big difference, you know. I spent the whole night, I can't sleep, you know, my body was crushed, and I tell you, I was sick. But the next day when I opened the curtain, I opened the door, I saw the whole place white, you know, and a pile of snow. And I said, this is a really strange country, I'm not going to stay. So I stayed for 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, and I spent 4 years in college. I graduated and went to Puerto Rico for some time to work for the Lord. And then in 1975, I went back to Haiti. I began to preach the gospel. I began to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, I began two churches at the same time. One of them is the Church of the Guys. I'm sorry that you can't see the pictures. It's a nice church. And the second church that I start is a church. Now, let me give you a story of the church. In my village where I born and grew up, there is a sacred place. It's a sacred place where nobody would go there except once a year. And they went there to offer sacrifice to spirit, to the spirit. And now they don't call it devil, but they call it the spirit. You know, they have different names. So once a year. So one time, my brother was in school in town in the Kais. He went to see my mother in the village. When he arrived there, my mother said, well, I'm sorry, I don't have any charcoal to cook for you, you know, because I didn't know he was coming. My brother told my mother, don't worry, I'm going to go at the bush and get some wood, you know. My mother said, no, nobody never go there except, you know, once a year, you know. My brother told my grandmother, don't worry. So he went there and get wood, dry wood, and my mother cooked the food. That night, he went to bed sick. He began to get sick the same night. Now the next day, he gets sicker. The third day, my mother had to go to witch doctor to find out what's going on because my brother was dying. And when she arrived there, they told her, your son did something that he wouldn't do. He went to a secret place and get more. Nobody never go there unless once a year. So they told her what to do. She did it, and my brother was healed. But after I began to preach the gospel, I returned to that village. First of all, I pray and cast out all of the evil spirits. And I get to that place, sacred place. We clean up the whole place, cut up all the trees, and plant the church there. I hope someday I will bring you to that church, you know. And until this is 42 years since I built that church today. We have a school there, we have church there,
Amen.
We have a community with a lot of people serving the Lord. I can show you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday,
yes.
today.
Yes,
Amen.
Amen.
And tonight I'm here to tell you that God is alive.
Mm-hmm.
God is alive. And 2 months ago, in our last October 4th, we had terrible hurricane days. A friend of mine called me the day before. And he told me that, do you have church in the coast? I told him I have 11 churches in the coast. And he said, well, State Department called me, told me that to warn any friend of mine who lives in that area, because that area is supposed to wiped out because of the hurricane. So by the time it was too late, there was nothing that I could do. And of course, at 12 o'clock in the night, you know, the hurricane comes. This is the first time in my life we experienced that kind of hurricane. It was degree 4, category 4, where it was very destructive. Now, when I mean the hurricane, the tree, you know, that thing, you know, fell out. It's like bulldozer, you know, sometimes the wind comes from the north, sometimes it changes direction from the south. Sometimes he burning, you know, like a wave, like a cows, you know, like a human voice. So a lot of people get killed, a lot of houses. And people in the coast where we have 11 churches, a lot of those people lose their home, lose their house. Now, the water come up, and I mean water, I mean the ocean. The ocean came up and destroyed a lot of houses. There were some places that they have a lot of houses and hotel and shops, business and everything. And now you go, some of them you don't even see the place in the world, house. So that's how bad it was. But after 3 days, I took my four-wheel drive. We went to buy food, rice and beans, spaghetti, because the people lost everything, they lost their garden, they lost, you know, everything. So we went there to help, to try to help, because I believe that the gospel only is not only in word, but is in deed.
Yes, yes, yes.
In many situations that I am in Haiti, I am asking questions. If Jesus was in my place, what he would do?
Yeah.
So that's why I try to respond to the need. Bethany Mission preaching the gospel in 4 dimensions, involving 5 ministries: evangelism, church planting, children education, health. We have 2 clinics, medical clinic. We have a Bible school. We have orphanage, and we have 14 schools, 10 elementary school, and 4 high school. And we're digging well to provide clean and portable water to the people. And in situations like this, where the people hungry and disaster, we try to bring help to them. So I took my four-wheel drive and went to the coast, because the hurricane will hit in 2 areas, the southern part and the west from the Caribbean. And When we arrived, when I arrived at Geneva, Geneva was still high. Many trucks and pickup arrived there, they have to stop, they cannot cross Geneva. But when I came there with my four-wheel drive, I crossed Geneva. And when I arrived in the place on my church, the news was so overwhelmed. I was almost crying. But I don't wept because I don't want things to look bad, because the people, the situation the people was, if I was weeping, I would make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have food, they don't have clothes, because the water come and got everything on the people. And what really touched my heart, before I leave, we bought a bottle of water, because I wasn't really think water was a big deal. When we arrived there, there was no water. The people were afraid to drink the water because of cholera. Mm-hmm. People began to die. You know, after 3 days, more than 100 people died in that area. Mm-hmm. And people were afraid, you know, and they asked the pastor, can you give us some water? And I have just few bottles. So I said, well, God, what I'm going to do? And then God answered my prayer right there. 3 days later, the person that who called, who was the head of Bethany Mission, he called me. He said, brother, God made a miracle happen. I said, what? He said, well, someone knows that you need a pickup. They send money. They sent $25,000 for you. And the money came. I got an old pickup and sold it and put the money and went to the dealer and bought a new pickup truck. And I said, God, I praise you now. I can now go to your business now. So I began to buy rice and beans and oil, you know, spaghetti. I need water. Now I know the people need water. I need water. You know, I bought water. We have a friend of ours in our church who has a water factory, making water, clean water. And he gave me a lot of water. So we fill our pickup every day, go back and forth and help to those people. And so that's what Bethany Mission is doing. And I hope someday you will go to Haiti. And I wish that you can see our pictures, but one day we will come back. We will show you that those pictures. And you can see that our Jesus that you love, how he's doing great and mighty things in Haiti.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is not Jesus only in the United States.
That's right.
Yeah. He is God in Haiti too.
Amen.
Because when we from Haiti, we come here and talk about Haiti, people here think Haiti is a very poor country and the people are in great need. That's true. But let me tell you, Haiti has a lot of people who love the Lord.
Yeah.
And there are the good things happening in Haiti. For example, let me give you some. Jesus said that in John chapter 4, verse 35, he said, do you not say that they are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? He said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are white for harvest.
Yes.
How you can look at the field unless you go? You can't look unless you go. You got to go. That's why he said, look up open your eyes and look up at the field. So the field in Haiti is right. So one day I got a phone call from one of our pastors, and it's about 8 kilometers from where I live. And he called me, he told me that he's very sick. So he wanted me to come up and got him to bring him to hospital. So I called a brother who in the church and I gave him my car. He went and pick him up and bring him to a clinic. So in afternoon, he came back, he asked him how Vandali was doing. Suddenly the doctor said that he's going to be okay. They examined him and gave him medicine and everything. But in Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock, while my wife and I were sitting in our home, somebody came, was a deacon. He was sweating on a bicycle. He said, "Pastor, yes, you got to go to toilet because Pastor died." That's what he meant by dying. Last Friday, they told me he's going to be okay. He said, "Well, he's dying. You got to go." And while I'm dressing up, and another sister came. And the way that she looked, it seemed that, the situation was really bad. So Franchette and I, we jumped in our jeep and we went to that town. When we arrived there, the pastor was laid down on the porch of his house where there was many people surrounding him. His wife, as a child, she was weeping, and some other people were weeping. And I said, "What's going on?" And I saw the pastor lay down on a bed, and all of his fagadil heat he brought. So I asked them, "What's going on?" They told me that he'd been passed out for 2.5 hours. And someone said, "Pastor, he's dead." Because they begin to weep. His wife is weeping, all the people is weeping. So I said, "Why the blood?" You know, they told me that he got the blood because they tried to revive him. You know, they tried to see if there is life, if he can talk or open his eyes. For 2.5 hours, there was no sign of life. So I came with Franchette and I told the people to back off, you know, back off. And we began to pray. As we prayed, we call upon God and the Holy Spirit come down. As the Holy Spirit come down, and we begin to pray for that person. And we pray, as we pray, I call his name. Now for 2.5 hours, there was no line, there was no talk. And when I call his name, he answered. And we continue to pray. The people were crying loudly because now there is life. First of all, they were crying for fear, you know, of death. But now they're crying for joy.
Yeah.
And as we continue to pray, and the pastor opened his mouth, opened his eyes, and left up and stand. So that was the greatest miracle in our ministry in Haiti.
Amen.
Now, after a few years later, I was in a meeting, I tell the people about this story. I told them the pastor will pass out for 2.5 hours. And he stand. He said, "Pastor, I wasn't ready to pass out. I was dead." That's what he said. He said, "I was dead. I know I was dead. I know if it wasn't really for God's intervention, I would go to the grave." Because what happened to him, a witch doctor in that area attacked him, and they tried to kill him. But God, by his power, Jesus Christ, by his power, set him free and raised him again from the dead.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you a story. The same pastor, later on, we transfer him from that church to another one. Because Bethany have 57 churches, once a while, we change pastor from one place to another one. After a few months, that pastor went to that church. One night, we have a prayer meeting, night prayer meeting. All the people in the community came to pray, and the people in Haiti pray a lot, you know, all the time. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, the pastor opened the door of the church. Now I'm talking about in the dark. It's in the mountain. There is no light. Totally dark. The pastor went out to pee. As he began to pee, a rock, somebody threw a rock on him. And that walk hit him. Now they tried to walk to kill the pastor. It's a walk they call it, in witchcraft they call it expedition. If that walk would hit him, he would kill him. But the power of God, you know, stopped that walk. He fell, you know, in the front of him.
Mm.
Now he told me, he stretched up, you know, his hand and prayed. He asked the Holy Spirit to go put a hand on that person and bring him to the Lord. So he did that. After when he went back to, you know, to sleep. The next day, he's a teacher. He went to school and after 12 o'clock, 20 in the day, someone called him. Somebody came and said, "Pastor, and Mr. So-and-so called you, and he went to talk to you." And the pastor thought it was strange because that man never talked to him, you know. And so he went. When he arrived there, a very long distance where the man called him. And the man told him, he said, "Well, Pastor, I call you. I want you to pray for me." And Pastor Levi, "For what?" He said, "Well, you know, since you've been here, you don't know that, but I've been persecuted you. Because your gospel, you pray for people, every people that we try to kill in this community, you pray for them, you protect them. We want to kill you. I tried to kill you, but I can't. Have you seen that last night I walked, you know, showed to you?" The pastor said, "No, nobody sent a walk to me." He said, "Yes. You got a walk, you know. I sent a walk to you. That was me. But do you know, after you pray, you make a prayer, after that prayer, every time I try to move here to come out to go to my house, somebody tried to hide, you know, and stop me. I cannot go. So that's why I call you to pray for me. I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior." So the pastor told him, "Let me pray for you." He said, "Well, before you pray, I want to go to my house with you. Because I have a lot of things in my house I want to bring to destroy." And he went there, turned every idol, everything that he got, turned it to the pastor. And the pastor prayed for him. He said, "Well, if everything that I try to do to kill you here, if I can't kill you and you stop me here, I can't go to my house, I can bear testimony that your God is mighty God."
Yes,
so you receive Christ as Lord and Savior.
Thank you.
So that's what we are doing in Haiti. But unless you go, you won't see the truth. You know, you got to go because hear something and see it with your eyes is totally different. But I'm inviting you to go to Haiti and you can see what God is doing. When my wife tell you that every time we came here, we're very encouraged by the song, all the song that you have in that songbook, that's what we sing in our church, in Creole and French. You know, they've been translated to French. So I feel home here. I don't know if, I can see we welcome, you know.
Amen.
But because Jesus will go and preach the gospel to all nations.
Mm-hmm.
One thing he said, "Behold, I give you authority." Now before Jesus said that, he said, "All authority has been given to me from heaven and earth." But before he went to heaven, do you know what he said? He said, "Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, upon all the power of the enemy. Nothing but enemy shall hurt you." Do you know that they have tried to kill me many times? Tried to kill me many times. 4 years ago, I got my car turned upside down with me. I fell asleep on a wheel. And I don't know his devil. I don't know if it's for me because I was tired. I know I was tired. and Felicity, and my car turned over. Now, I know I am going to have an accident when I hurt two guys on a motorcycle. And they turned, and then I opened my eyes. I know that I was sleeping. And at the time to get control of that vehicle, and it turned over. Now, it turned over and continued to go upside down. The truck coming in the other side. And I was, many people in the community saw the truck coming and going to hit the car. They cry, you know, but God, by His power, stopped my car and stopped the truck also. And the people thought that everybody in my car would die. I was alone. And when I opened the door, I get out. I don't have anything. I don't have nothing. And the car was totally destroyed. And I come out alive. So that's why I told you that my God is a great and mighty God. Now you don't have, I'm talking about the power of devil in him. You don't have to feed or go, because the Bible says what is in you is greater than you.
Yes,
what
amen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And me, if the devil have power to kill a Christian, he would kill my wife. He would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But we praise God.
Thank you.
Jesus said, I gave you power.
That's right.
And I don't give it to you to keep it, but I gave it to you to spread upon serpent, upon scorpion. So once again, I don't want to keep you for a long time. And I invite you, I give you invitation. My wish for you for 2017, that God will give you victory. May this year, a year of jubilee, a year of freedom, a year of power, and a year of victory.
Yes.
May God bless you.
Thank you.